Wings of Chaos. Chapter 17 is a longer chapter, so I've split it into two parts. This is Chapter 17, Part A. Chapter 17, The Twins. After their quick encounter with the large spiders, the caravan spotted another roadside inn with lit windows and wisps of welcoming smoke floating up from the chimney. As they traveled northward, the nights were colder, and most mornings brought white frost, making the blades of grass crunch underfoot as they packed up their camp. Therefore, the excitement was tangible with the promise of mattresses and a stoked hearth. "Thank the gods," Arietta said, flipping her golden hair and resting her cheek on Philip's shoulder as she steered the cart forward on the wide road. "I miss sleeping in a bed. Being on the road is horrid," she pouted. Shale rolled her eyes and looked over to Reverence for support, but the tiefling was walking beside the cart, staring quite obviously over at Zelina, who sat at the back looking quite bored and staring at her feet. "See that?" Philip pointed at the treetops, where a smaller wisp of smoke drifted up into the darkening sky. "What do you think it is, a house?" Shale asked curiously, squinting. The druid shrugged. "We could check it out," he said. Arietta wrapped her arms around his. "Oh no, please no," she complained. "Let's keep going, I'm so sick of the road. I want a warm bed." Philip seemed annoyed by the girl and pulled his arm free. "You've been on the road for a couple of weeks," he pointed out. "The rest of the people in this caravan have been on the road for more than a month." Arietta crossed her arms and looked out at the fields, sniffing. Shale couldn't tell if it was an act, or if the young woman really was naturally that annoying. When they neared the inn, they noticed only one cart out in front, and the place seemed empty from the road. "That's strange," Shale said as Whisper came back to their cart after scouting around the caravan. "You'd think the hostel would be packed on a road this busy." Reverence nodded thoughtfully. "It is strange." "Trigger," Shale called her fox, and he appeared at her feet a moment later. "Run up and check the building and see if there's anyone inside. Then come back. Try to stay hidden." The fox yipped and ran ahead.
"Scent owl," Whisper offered,
jumping onto the cart next to Zelina. Then his eyes clouded over as his fey owl shot from his paw and went soaring after Trigger. A minute later, the fox returned, and Whisper looked up, concerned.
"Five only,"
the tabaxi said, jumping down from the cart.
"Four with nice clothes. One is halfling that work there."
"Did they seem dangerous?" Shale asked, and Trigger yipped. Shale looked up at Philip, Reverence, and Whisper. "I'll go get the others." With that, she ran off to find Keelan and Ozarin. Ozarin, Keelan, and Philip went ahead of the caravan to scope the people inside, who Whisper guessed, from what he'd seen through his owl's eyes, were nobles based on their dress. The warlock, paladin, and druid were the three most nobly dressed of their party, and therefore took the lead. That, and Philip was weirdly good at talking to people, for a druid. Ozarin pushed open the door to the grinning gnome, which creaked on its hinges as they entered a huge, brightly lit room, lined with thick wooden pillars and scattered with round tables. Four people, two human men, a half-elf man, and a half-elf woman, sat at one of the tables. They were laughing and talking loudly, but they all went silent as the door opened and Ozarin, Philip, and Keelan walked in. One of the human men with thick, curled black hair and a closely shaved beard stood, his robe slightly too tight for his burly figure, as if they were made for someone else.
"Sorry, lads," he said in a voice that was anything but. "Ian's taken. You'll have to find another or spend the night out on the road."
There was an unspoken threat in the man's voice. Philip gave a casual smile and splayed his hands.
"It looks to me like the inn is empty but for you four."
His eyes flickered over to the small halfling woman who was standing at the bar on a stool, nervously circling a rag over the same spot of polished wood as she watched them. The tension was palpable.
"Unfortunately," the man said with a shrug, "we paid for the whole place."
"Looks for me," Philip said, turning to leave.
Keelan grabbed Philip by the shoulder to keep the half-elf from exiting.
"Not so fast," the paladin growled to his friend in a low voice, then said more loudly to the other four, "Who do you think you are?"
The standing man, who seemed to be their appointed leader, measured Keelan with his eyes, then slammed his mug on the table and said,
"We paid for the place. As I said, private function."
He sneered, then looked to the halfling woman. "Goldra, back us up on this."
Ozrin was staring at the group, carefully taking in their lack of displayed weapons and their fine dress. Guldra stirred at the sound of her name.
Yes. They paid for the whole inn. The stables, too.
She was visibly nervous. Philip, seeing Keelan's stubborn stance, said reassuringly,
We promise we wouldn't be in the way. We simply want beds for the night, after weeks on the road and in the rain.
Not my problem, the man said, folding his arms aggressively. The other at the table didn't speak, but they were all tensed and watching. You can camp in the forest. If you've been doing it for weeks, what's another night?
Seems a small group to be needing so much room,
Philip pushed. We paid for it. Now get out. Keelan glared and flexed his arms threateningly, then said, Fine, let's go. As the three of them turned to leave, Ozrin whispered a spell under his breath, warming each of their four beers with a hidden smile. They heard one of them spit out a mouthful as they closed the door behind them, and he shouted, Guldra, what's wrong with this batch? Give us another one.
Well, Keelan sighed, I hate them.
Agreed, Ozrin said under his breath. I'm going to check the back. Something's off with these folks. With that, the warlock turned invisible and tiptoed off. Philip shared a look with Keelan and put his hand on the paladin's shoulder.
I'll talk with the horses and see what I can find. I suggest you return to the caravan and tell them to continue up the road. We'll meet up with you soon enough.
Then the druid transformed into a fat rat and scampered away on four legs. Keelan shrugged and headed back to the road. Philip skittered under the cart in front of the inn and ran under the horse's hooves, transforming back to his half-elf form once he was sure he was out of sight from the windows. He cast a familiar spell and looked at the horse, who was chewing a mouthful of hay and seemed disinterested.
Hey, what are you doing? Philip asked casually.
The horse looked up at him lazily, snorting.
Resting? Eating? It nickered. What are you doing here?
Same, the druid said.
So what about your owners? Anything you can tell me about them?
If a horse could shrug, this one did as it bent to tear off another mouthful of hay.
They're the two-legged ones inside.
Are they good people? Philip asked.
I pulled a wooden box for them, the horse said.
Great, Philip said, swearing to himself as he ended the spell. Well, that was useless. Ozrin turned invisible and crept through the back door to the kitchens. As he slowly opened the door, he saw a balding human man with mousy brown hair chopping onions and dropping them into a boiling pot over the fire. The man hesitated, then spit into the bubbling pot. Ozrin made a mental note not to eat the soup as he crept forward invisibly into the main floor of the inn, then past the small halfling owner and turned up the stairs, the echoing laughter of the four patrons fading into muffled sounds as he reached the second landing.
Why, Reverence wondered aloud, would they rent the entire inn?
That's what I mean, Keelan growled, shaking his head. It makes no sense.
Perhaps we should go in there and take the place forcefully.
Shale crossed her arms. We can't just force them out. If they really did pay for it, as the owner said, then we have no right to take it. The caravan was stopped a short way up the road, waiting to hear word from Ozrin, who had yet to come back.
If I was rich, Philip smiled, I'd probably do something like this too.
Exactly, Shale said, so it doesn't mean there's a nefarious purpose. If they paid for the place, then it's theirs. Keelan reluctantly nodded, but Reverence seemed unsure.
It does seem suspicious, the paladin said. The owner seemed very nervous.
Maybe I can talk to the halfling, Shale suggested. If we found out something's wrong, then we can act, but not before then. Arietta moaned.
I'm sleeping in a bed tonight, Philip,
she said, not for the first time.
That's speculative at best, the druid told her.
Fine.
We'll wait until Ozrin returns. Reverence, can you get Oyen and take our cart? We can get everyone to stop making camp off the road?
The monk agreed and trotted off to find Oyen, and the two of them came back to the cart with Oyen's horse and cart pulled around the rest of the cavern on the road, Oyen looking nervous. Ozrin appeared through the darkness a few minutes later, holding his arm, which was bleeding and stuck with a crossbow bolt. The warlock stumbled over to them, and Keelan quickly rushed to heal him.
What happened? Philip asked.
Snuck upstairs, Ozrin said, blinking furiously, to look through their stuff. Just clothes, not much else in their rooms. The rest of the rooms are empty. When I was trying to sneak out of there, I must have made some sound on the stairs. One of them shot me with their crossbow as I was running out. I think it might have been tipped with poison.
As he said this, he leaned against their cart, grabbing his head.
Everything is spinning.
Keelan ripped out the bloodied bolt and inspected it.
It's poisoned, all right,
The paladin agreed, casting it aside and placing a hand over the wound and whispering a few words of healing under his breath. A moment later, Ozarin breathed with relief, some of the color returning to his pale cheeks.
Thanks, Keelan.
Well, Reverence demanded, is that enough proof? Shale shook her head.
Any one of us would react the same way if we saw someone sneaking around invisibly.
The bolts were poisoned, Ozarin said.
What about that other smoke we saw earlier?
Shale asked. Maybe it's some other travelers who know what these people are up to.
Couldn't hurt, Philip shrugged, nodding his head. It was this way.
As their caravan pushed ahead to find a space a mile up the road, the six of them headed into the forest toward where Philip had last spotted the other line of smoke. They came to a clearing about 100 feet into the trees. A fire burned brightly, and two elven men sat by it. One was turning dripping mead on a spit, and the other was carving something in his hand. Whisper shot his owl from his paw, and the creature flapped its wings and landed on an upper branch, and the branch started to glow. The one who was cooking looked up, then nudged his companion, and they both walked over to the tree and stood under it, looking up at the glowing branch and muttering their curiosity. As they did so, Whisper came from his hiding place in the trees and went to sit by the fire. When the elves turned back, they both jumped and drew daggers. Halt! One of them yelled. Whisper meowed curiously, tilting his head at the knife points.
It's all right,
Ozarin said calmly, stepping from the trees and showing his empty hands.
We mean you no harm. We simply saw your smoke a while back and we were curious who you were.
The one who spoke first hesitated and lowered his dagger, visibly relaxing.
We thought you were someone else.
Who? Ozarin asked.
The people at the inn, the other elf said, as he flipped his dagger and put it in his belt. You killed them with us?
Whisper asked.
Killed them? The man laughed. That's absurd. My brother and I are merchants, not fighters.
What's your name? Ozarin asked.
Lucian.
My brother's Andok.
I have other friends here, in the trees, Ozarin said. Is it all right if they join us? They won't harm you.
Lucian hesitated again, then nodded.
All right.
Shale stepped into the firelight, giving the brothers a nervous smile and showing she was unarmed.
Do you know anything about the people at the inn?
Philip asked as he made himself comfortable, cross-legged next to the fire, warming his hands.
Lucian shook his head. No idea. We tried to get a room and they sent us back to the road. But there's something off about them.
Agreed, Reverend said gravely. Well, we won't bother either of you about it, if you're not interested in a fight, Ozarin told them, to which both brothers nodded gratefully. What are you doing traveling in these parts?
Oh, Andark said, excitement appearing in his eyes. We make wood carvings and sell them in the towns. Would you like to see?
Reverence immediately followed the elf to their wagon of supplies, which Shale only now noticed was filled with crates. The elf and tiefling were soon haggling on prices, and Reverence came away with a wooden owl carving, which he happily pocketed. The purpose of such a thing was a mystery to her.
Let's get back, Shale insisted. I will find an excuse to talk to the owner and see if these people are trouble.
They took their leave of the elven brothers, who seemed relieved to have them go. Once they were back on the road, they made their plan. Shale and Whisper threw open the front door of the inn and stepped inside the large room filled with round tables. At the foremost one sat four individuals, who went quiet at the sight of them.
I said, this place is our...
One of the men started shouting, then turned to see Shale, her lavender hair covered with a scarf, and Whisper, a 7-foot tabaxi in travel-worn clothes.
Oh, I'm so sorry,
Shale said, looking around at the almost empty inn with confusion.
I simply came in here looking for Goldra?
She put on her most flirtatious smile, and the man with the dark curly hair blushed. The half-elf woman at the table rolled her eyes. Whisper made a move toward the bar, where the halfling owner stood, tensely watching.
Hey!
The man stammered, tearing his gaze from Shale as he drew a crossbow from inside his cloak.
Don't move, catman!
Whisper purred and looked over in confusion.
Milk,
he said simply, pointing at the bar.
Get out! We've rented this inn.
I'm here to speak with Goldra, Shale said again, more firmly, and the halfling woman's eyes flickered with confusion, then understanding as she met Shale's gaze. Philip had caught her name when scouting the inn the first time around.
I have news about your father, she said.
Goldra, the man said roughly, his crossbow still trained on Whisper. Who are these people? Do you know them?
She doesn't know us, Shale corrected, straightening. I'm a friend of her mother's, and I have a troubling message about her father, as I said.
The man looked from Shale to Whisper to Goldra, the latter barely moving.
Fine, he finally said, lowering the crossbow and pointing a meaty finger at the halfling woman, but I expect a discount on all our drinks tonight.
Nodding numbly, Goldra hopped down from the bench behind the bar and shuffled over to Shale, who grabbed the small woman's arm and pulled her out the door. "We'll only be a minute," she assured the four strangers, and Whisper slammed the door behind them. Goldra let out a scream, which Shale quickly shushed as she noticed Keelan, Philip, Ozarin, and Trigger all standing outside, crouched under the windows.
"Shh, it's okay, it's okay," Shale assured her, placing two gentle hands on her shoulders. "We're here to help. We think those four people in there are trouble, but we couldn't know for sure unless we asked you."
Goldra sniffed and nodded fervently.
"Who are they?"
"They're..." She looked around at the others nervously, then said, "They're human traffickers. They take groups of travelers, drug them, and drag them away to sell."
"Told you,"
Reverend said from over their heads. The tiefling was sitting on the overhang of the roof. Goldra jumped again, and Reverend held up a hand in apologetic greeting.
"Do they have magic?" Shale asked calmly, to which Goldra nodded again, tight-lipped.
"That's all we need to know," Ozarin whispered.
"Are you satisfied, Shale?"
Shale reluctantly nodded.
"How long have they been here, Goldra?"
"A couple weeks," the halfling breathed. "I want you to hide," she told her firmly. "Get under something and stay out of the way. There's going to be a fight." The woman's small frame was shaking, but she nodded again in understanding, then turned to open the door. She gave their group one more look over, then slipped inside.
"Took you long enough," the muffled shouts of one of the men said.
"Ease up," another complained. "She can't serve us food if she's too bloodied."
"Shut it, L-word."
"Okay," Shale said, peeking through the window and casting her hunter's mark on the one who seemed to be their leader. He had grabbed Goldra and was lifting her off her feet.
"Let's take them out."
"Yes,"
Reverend said from above, excitement clear in his voice as he turned and scaled the roof.
"I'll go in through the back door," Philip said quietly, then winked.
"There's another worker in there," Ozarin reminded him. "Try to get him out without hurting him."
"Easy enough,"
the druid smiled, then disappeared around the corner of the building. Shale bent and readied a crossbow trap, infusing it with a simple spell to fire if anyone but her party or Goldra tried to escape through the front door. Ozarin put a hand on the outside of the door, looking around at them meaningfully, then said, "Let's fuck them up," and threw open the door. They all ran through, weapons drawn. Ozarin rushed forward first and cast a holding spell on one of the men, who was chugging a beer and instantly froze, the beer spilling over his front. Then he began shooting the frozen figure with Eldritch Blasts until he fell back stiffly to the floor. Whisper went invisible, and Shale didn't bother to keep track of the tabaxi as she took out her bow and shot an arrow at the man holding Goldra. Trigger bounding forward and leaping in to bite the arm holding the halfling. The man swore and dropped Goldra as he faced his attackers. Shale's arrow sticking in his forearm, the point dug into his leather armor. There was a loud crash and a man screams from the kitchen, followed by the roar of a bear. A window on the second level shattered, which left Shale to assume Reverence would be coming down the stairs at any second. Three large brown bears charged in from the kitchens and surrounded the man in front of Shale, and as soon as Goldra dropped, she sprinted for the door.
"I guess sometimes the prey comes to you," the half-elf woman said, casually standing from the table and shooting a small, buzzing light from her fingertips, which whizzed toward the three bears and exploded in a sudden burst of fire.
The man, who still had Shale's arrow in his armor, was able to jump out of the way. Trigger ran to Shale's feet. All three bears flew back, their fur singed. The smell of burnt hair was pungent, and the two bears suddenly flashed and were gone, leaving only Philip in his bear form. He rolled to his feet, roaring. Shale put away her bow and drew her two blades as another of the men took out a crossbow. Instead of aiming it at her, however, he flicked and shot at Keelan, who was trying to stand between their fleeing leader and the door. The bolt grazed Keelan's cheek and the paladin instantly went pale.
"Poison,"
Shale thought frantically, and sure enough, Keelan stumbled and fell against a table for support, the point of his sword dropping. He swung wildly then, looking confused. The poison worked quickly. A sphere of flames rolled over the prone man, who was still frozen from Ozarin's spell, and Shale didn't turn to look for Whisper. She knew his spells well by now. Instead, she ran around the sphere toward the man with the crossbow, brandishing her weapons. Reverence leapt down the stairs, striking at the woman who, it was now evident, was their spellcaster. Within a few seconds, she was severely bloodied and backing up as Ozarin also began hitting her with spells. The man Shale charged dropped his crossbow and drew a short sword, narrowly dodging her strike. She heard a thump behind her, but didn't turn until she heard another noise and suddenly felt a stinging pain in her shoulder. She stumbled, grabbing at her shoulder and feeling a bolt there. The man she fought grinned and lowered his blade, and she fell to her knees. She looks back. The man who'd been frozen was standing over Keelan and Philip's unconscious bodies, smiling, his crossbow aimed at her. Shale felt her vision swim and her body became heavy. The man next to her pulled out a glass vial and said to his friend, "Hold your breath." Then he smashed the glass on the ground, and a thick smoke rose up. Shale coughed as the smoke consumed her. She collapsed, her vision tunneling into darkness. Listening to Wings of Chaos, written by Alexis Vienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories by me, visit my blog linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening.